I'm going to be speaking from 1 Timothy chapter 4 this morning. I'm not going to read it yet, but I will be reading it soon. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Just after Thessalonians, before Titus. Three T's, as I remember. Okay, I'll begin by praying. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity once more to stand here and deliver your word. I ask you, Lord, that your spirit would bless me, would anoint me, and would help me to speak. That your words of truth would pierce our hearts, Lord God, and help us to understand a little bit more of what it is you're teaching us in relation to our constitution, helping us to understand primary doctrine in this church, to have a firm foundation on your word, Lord God, and that it would stand us in good stead in the months and the years to come. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Panic in there, confirm a talk. Bit shaky this morning, actually, which is unlike me. Okay, so last week Taddy began this series of talks, which is going to be based on what Shiloh believes in relation to our statement of faith. And he used the three E's: education, engaging, and enjoyable. Now, I'm going to tell you something about the architectural world in life, for the building game, as they say. Taddy, I laughed at myself, because as I do. Taddy's used educational, engaging, and enjoyable. Well, in the building world, we use quality, time, and money. And the way it goes is you only ever get two of the three points. So usually with me, you'll get quality and maybe money, but we're always 2 months late, for example. So when I was looking at Taddy's, I was thinking, well, this week you might get a bit of education, you might get a bit of engagement, but it may not be enjoyable. So you always have to remember that sometimes you get two out of the three, especially in what we do, so that's a bit of a laugh. Yeah. Anyway, we're looking at some of the essential doctrines that are in our statement of truth, and what the writer to the Hebrews calls them as elementary principles of Christ, things that we need to know, be grounded in, understand, and believe. We need to try to stir up the gift of God that's within us, and to help us to make sure we know what it is we believe, and whom we believe, and that our faith is proven genuine. We don't want to be false, in any way, false believers in here, or have a false doctrine, or a false salvation. That would be a tragedy. So we're following the three E's: the education, the engage, and the enjoy, to help us grow in Christ, and to put into practice the things that the Lord God has taught us, and is teaching us. It's very important to us, because it tells others what kind of a church, what kind of a fellowship we are. Our statement of faith highlights what we believe and how important it is to us, and that people understand what it is we believe. Summarizes our spiritual beliefs and helps others to know exactly what kind of a church we are. We don't take any nonsense. Kind of church is usually how we're viewed by many. The first line of our statement, before we get into the statement of faith, there is a preamble. Solicitor's terms means something legal before you get into the legal things. Preamble. And what it says in the preamble, it says that we desire to extend to all genuine believers the fullest liberty of conscience, while expecting them to adhere to our doctrine of faith. We extend to all the fullest liberty of conscience. That's a kind of a really important little line that Shiloh has in its statement of faith. And it's very important, and hopefully it will become clearer as I go through the talk what that actually means, and how we use that, and use it as a sort of, let everybody have their own test against us. So, no person who is not a born-again Christian can ever be accepted into membership of this fellowship. No unbeliever can ever become a member. It wouldn't make any sense for an unbeliever to want to be a member, because they wouldn't believe what we say. They don't accept our conscience, our statement of faith. They couldn't do it in a clear conscience. Acceptance of our statement of faith does not mean that you simply have a nod of the head. It's like, you know, in the old days, you came in, we handed you the statement of faith, you accepted it, and you became a member. That's kind of what happened. And as Taddy and I have been speaking over the months, we actually realized people didn't actually really understand fully what it is that they were agreeing to. There was no kind of litmus test, you know, what it is you believe, and do you understand it, and do you agree to it. And so we decided to go through this series of talks to help everybody realize what it is that you're agreeing to when you become a member of this church. At the minute, we have no members in Shiloh. Only two members that exist at the minute are me and Taddy, because we own the land. The rest of you just have to prove your worth. It's great, isn't it? A great plan how me and Taddy ended up with all the land. Because as you know, we dissolved all of that because we were going to obviously become a charity, and become a charity if they set everything up, or set everything up and then you become members. That's why we're doing this. So this does not mean that we don't welcome unbelievers into the Shiloh. Of course, that is the main aim of Shiloh, is to bring unbelievers in so that they can then, you know who Jesus is, trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour, and be accepted into this church. That's what our aim is. That's why we're here as a church per se. And we in Shiloh believe that gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. I mean, without that, we may as well pack up and go home. That's what it's all about in Shiloh. We believe that Jesus Christ was crucified, risen from the dead, and we preach repentance from sin and the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are two primary doctrines, if you want. Two things that you must believe, that you must, if you want to be in Shiloh and be a member, those are two core things that you must know and believe. So that said, covers everything that we have done to this day, and I'm going to read from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from this faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having of the life that now is, and of which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we labour and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. The book of Timothy, first and the second book, are fantastic books, and I would urge you to go and read them. They're short, they're easy, and they're just full of everything in relation to the end days and what's going to happen in relation to people leaving the faith and all this. But to teach you something, they're great. Now, Paul wrote the letters, of course, he talked about Thessalonians and Corinthians, all these letters that Paul wrote, and he wrote this one. It's labeled Timothy. And it was at the beginning of the Christian church. The problem with the early church was that all sorts of heresies were creeping in at a very early stage. Some were going back to their pagan practices. Others were introducing former things from their pagan practices into the little Christian churches that they were in. The Jews were trying to bring back circumcision. You had all this stuff going on. And there were a few movements that were beginning to gain popularity at this time. And Gnosticism kind of was coming on. Gnosticism is one that I'm going to just briefly mention. You can look these up yourself. It denied that God had manifested himself in the flesh, and some denied Christ's manhood outright. They said that his body was a phantom or a delusion. He didn't actually really exist. They attacked the Godhead of Jesus, believing he was some kind of inferior deity. So they didn't believe in Jesus at all, and these guys were attacking this. You can look it up. You can go and look this up on the internet. There's books and things you can look all this up. There's Gnosticism, there's Marxism, there's other ones. All these things were coming in against the church. And Paul talks about these doctrines as being led by deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. I mean, how 2019, and it's as real today as it was back then. These things were being brought in by deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Paul talks of these latter times that he talks about. So latter times, we think about further on in the future. Today, we are in a latter time from then. But the word latter, when you look it up, can also mean critical turning point in history. In other words, when these things begin to happen, it is a critical point in our history. So what are the people going to depart from? Well, we know that the false teachings will come in and they will turn aside and begin to follow after these. And we have that even today in this world. They will abandon their faith in Jesus to follow after heresies. And in the end time, there will be a great delusion that will be set upon the earth, and many will follow after the Antichrist and his religion. In the period of time that Paul is writing, they were abandoning their faith for paganism. To abandon your faith and to go back to something else is called apostasy. And you have these people that once were holding on to Christianity and believing in Jesus, were now going back to their own ways of paganism. And they were doing all these things again, and this is called apostasy, and it was not good. And this was kind of evident also in the days of Noah, and more so today to us. You have people that abandon Christianity and going back to their old ways. Paul sees a time when deceiving spirits and demons will come upon the people and cause them to wander or to stray from their faith. Well, history tells us that Hitler, for example, was a man who was heavily influenced by the occult, and he created his own government department to oversee it. In the world today, I looked this up myself again, I've talked about this before, you have the Church of Satanic Worship, which is alive and well. You can look up their websites, big in America, big over here, becoming a thing. When did you think it would be acceptable to have the worship of Satan as a religion? When did you think it would be okay to have occults and such practices protected because they will soon be viewed as religions? These things are frightening to think about. But they're happening in the wicked generation that Jesus spoke about. And of course, I, like Taddy, kind of think that we're in that generation at this moment in time. Paul is speaking about familiar spirits which will masquerade as if they are known by you, but of course they are lying spirits. Many go to fortune tellers to see if they can reveal their future. And would you believe it, the Christians even go to these places? Christians will read their horoscopes more often than they will read their Bibles at times. And when we look at occults and the movements that are coming, we think that they will not deceive the world. They will. You see, what's going to happen is all these things are going to gain status, a place. You won't be able to come against Satanism anymore because it's going to be a religion. You'll not be able to come against the occult because it'll have its place and it'll be deemed as a religion. And so everything is going to be deemed as religion before, of course, the one word religion comes. But these things all have to come first of all. Is it any wonder that when the Antichrist is revealed in his powers, that he will be so readily accepted? The growth of these occults are in stark contrast to the decline in real church attendance. Today, you know, there will be a great falling away that we talk about, but how far have we already fallen and how far have we to go? I looked up the Church of England, always a good indicator for church attendance. And they say now that the people attending the Church of England service is less than 2% of the whole population of Britain. 2%. That has got to send alarm bells ringing. The church attendance is falling. We know that. Although churches are around even in Northern Ireland here. I complain and gurn to Taddy all the time about this. But church services at nights have been ceasing. You'll go to churches quite often. They won't have church services. This is one of the few churches that has a nighttime service. Paul talks about the hypocrisy that's coming, the lies and the false words. Demons and spirits are devoid of soul and they seek to destroy the people and the churches of Jesus. Quite impressed this morning actually that a lot of the prayers were around this kind of subject. Many who will fall away will be fooled by these lies and they will be trapped because they haven't been properly grounded in the doctrines that we're going to be looking at in Shiloh. There will arise a religion that will mimic the Christian faith, and they already exist. That they will look like the Christian faith, they will sound like the Christian faith, they will do all the things like the Christian faith, but they will be fake, they will be phony, they will be replicas that do not provide the sound faith that we have in Jesus. I'm going to give you two examples, not directly about the churches, but as I like to do. My kids like playing pranks on their very English, the Right Honourable or whatever it is, Reverend Uncle Dave, Church of England. Really nice man. I think great time. But my kids played pranks on him. And a couple of years ago, my kids gave him a card for Christmas with a £20 note in it. And he was absolutely flabbergasted that my two kids would give him £20. Lo and behold, a few days later, Uncle Dave came to us. Steam coming out of his ears when he discovered that the £20 note was actually a fake. They got me to make one. It was really well done. And he had been conned. So, the next fall, Uncle Dave comes over. My two kids, thinking they've got the best one over Uncle and Dave, go up to Granny Ann's, and Granny Ann had made some marshmallows with chocolate on them, and my two girls came. And Uncle Dave handed them one each proudly. And Hannah stuck her teeth straight into it, choked, and horror on her face, and spat it out. And out came a nice, raw, green Brussels sprout. And Uncle Dave had his revenge. What looked like the perfect chocolate marshmallow was actually a chocolate sprout, a Brussels sprout prank. And the reason I'm using these two things is because they both look real. The £20 note looked as real as any other £20 note. It's a fake, it's a fabrication, it's counterfeit, but it looks exactly like the real thing. The chocolate marshmallow looked exactly like a chocolate marshmallow, except when you bit into it, you realise it was a sprout. And this is what is happening or going to happen in the church. Many new churches that are springing up. I'm sick and tired of hearing this one. So people that I work with, and they've got younger adults, I call them teenagers, and I call them younger adults. And they're going to these new churches, you get a 10-minute sermon and you get 2 hours of singing and worship. And he said, and this is the way it's going. This is what it's all about. It's all about the singing and the feeling good factor and the euphoria. And these big churches are taking off. And he said, you're doing it all wrong. See, in Shiloh, we've got it completely wrong. See the Word of God? See 25 minutes sermon? Waste of time. We'd be better just playing music and then you all sing and dance. Going home feeling happy. The Word of God does not always make you feel happy. In fact, it shouldn't always make you feel happy. It should make you contemplate what is being said. Look at your own conscience. See what you're doing wrong. It's meant to direct you and shape you and lead you to Jesus. It's not all about singing and dancing, but that's what's happening. And I don't want to start naming churches, but it's going on and it's happening. The Word of God is becoming secondary to the praise of the worship leaders. And anyway, so this is what's happening and this is what's taking place in the church. Alarm bells should be ringing. Paul mentions that two things. He says that they're going to forbid the marry and they're going to command them to abstain from eating meats. Things that God has said you can do. As long as you give thanks for that, God has said that's a good thing to do. And this happened with Gnosticism. They began to prevent you or say, look, marriage wasn't good and don't eat this food. You can look this up yourself. The amount of people today that are not getting married is dropping more than ever in the last 50 years. People don't need to get married anymore. You can have a civil partnership. You can do other things. Marriage is not seen as necessary. You can do all the things that marriage gives you now outside of marriage. You can have children outside of marriage. You can have intimate relationships outside of marriage. You can own a house together outside of marriage. You can do all of these things outside of marriage. Marriage is one of the most secret things that God created. Marriage between man and woman and marriage between the church and Christ. And if you can come against that and break it, you are removing one of the most important things that God gave to us. The world no longer frowns upon children outside of marriage like it did in the 1950s. The more liberal this world becomes, the more liberal this view is in marriage and children and everything else. So marriage is becoming something that will be seen as unnecessary in this world. It's no wonder that the sanctity of marriage is under attack in so many ways, and we've talked about that before. The second part, then, of what we're looking at this morning is how Timothy is to defend himself against these threats. How is he going to come against these things? And they're really odd things. You talk about deceiving spirits, you talk about marriage, you talk about food, you're thinking, these things seem a wee bit not right today. We don't have to worry about that. More so today do we have to worry about these things. So Paul tells him, if you instruct in these things, that is being sanctified by God in word and prayer, then you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Sanctified by God in word. There you go. The first thing we need to know that Paul is driving home, he's hitting on the head, he is driving home the most crucial point for every believer. You need to be in God's Word, you need to be nourished by it, and it has to be more or less the core of your everyday life. You've got to be living it and reading it. God's Word is true, it's living, it's the nourishment that we need to be trained up and nurtured. It's not about going to McDonald's, getting the Big Mac and the big fries and the strawberry milkshake. That's not going to do anything for your nourishment that Paul is talking about. It will do little for your spiritual growth. The words of faith and good doctrine are the royal sort of foods that we will need to fill us and to prevent us from going into error or even apostasy. It is very dangerous to neglect biblical doctrine. It is very dangerous to neglect the Word of God in the Bible. It is essential that our faith is built upon the sure foundation of the Word of God. We cannot build our salvation on nice songs, courses, or testimonies, great and lovely as they are. We cannot build our core doctrines upon these things. Some churches today, like I said, place music and worship and the focus on leaders more than they do upon the Word of God. The Word of God does not make you feel good all the time. It shouldn't make you feel good all the time. Like I said, it should make you consider parts of your life and all that that the Word of God can only do. It shines upon things in your life. So will this experience of triumph over God's Word, will the place of music and hype in the modern church overtake the good doctrine of the Word of God? Will people's ears become tuned into music and tuned out of God's Word? Well, I think it will. And it's very clear that Timothy had paid close attention to the Word of God that was being taught to him by Paul. He had been with Paul, received the apostles' teaching, and followed in his footsteps. He was young. He would be seen as immature because he's only in his early 30s. And he's saying to him, look, be strong. You're grounded here. Continue in what you've been taught. And then he's being warned about old wives' tales and fables and myths. Of course, these were all the thing of the day. You know, this is what was going on. And he's saying, don't even entertain them. Don't even get in the conversation with these people about these things. Just reject them. These tales try to persuade you away from God. They lead you to heresies and foolish notions. And they will be your own peril. So ignore them. And then Paul uses another analogy when he looks at bodily exercise. And again, me and Taddy have laughed about this for years. Taddy said there's little profit in body exercise. And I used to argue with him about this. But when we look at it, in these days, Paul had the amphitheatre, they had the entertainment, was going to see the gladiators beat hell's bells out of each other. Everybody was training to fight. And if you weren't training to fight, you were meat to be thrown to the lions for a bit of entertainment. Remember, these days in the Romans, it was a wild place to be. If you were a Christian, you ended up on a lamppost. You know, so it wasn't a good place to be. But people were being trained up and strengthened to fight. And Paul's saying, this is pointless. Completely pointless. And he refers to godliness as profitable to all things. It is profitable now and it is profitable for the life to come. We are to be spiritual gymnasts today, learning the Word of God to make us ready to be prepared in every situation and every battle that is coming, so that we can fight with the Word of God. That is the only thing. Fight with the Word of God and prayer are the two foundation things that we need as young as Christians or as young Christians coming to faith in God, is what is being taught, because obviously this is the early church. So we should be reading our Bibles as Christians every day, soaking the Word of God into our core. This is the food that we need to strengthen us and to sustain us. And we need to know our Bible well enough so that we know Jesus even more. You begin to know Jesus the more you read your Bible and pray. If you don't read your Bible and you don't pray enough, you're not going to be strong enough when the attack comes against the church. And it will come. There is no doubt that the church will come under severe attack in the years to come. The very first line of our statement that I began with is how I'm going to conclude our talk this morning. And it said that we should extend to all believers the genuine liberty of conscience. What that actually means is it means giving a person the right to believe or follow a person's religion. We're giving you the right to follow the religion, or a religion, whatever you want to follow. That's what it means. In Russia, in 2017, the Russian court issued a ruling to outlaw the Jehovah's Witnesses. This means they are no longer freely to worship, and in fact means that they are now extremist organization, and that's how they're to be viewed in Russia. Right, so I'm talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm using it as an example. That's what's going to happen. So they're going to be seen in that country as an extreme organization. It will happen. The Christian churches, preaching like us, and other religions will be deemed as being outlawed. Because the Antichrist will move against them. And that's what's going to happen. Think you're free to worship, and I heard Billy say it this morning, and I'm thankful we are free to worship, but that will come under threat. I honestly believe that it will come under threat. What we think, what we say, how we preach. If we preach against another church or another religion, look at what happened to Pastor O'Connell. That is just the beginning of what will happen, I think, against the church. You know, I used to laugh at Taddy and say, in 20 years' time, we're going behind bars for what we say. You will see a move coming that will begin to outlaw all forms of worship, including Christianity, as we know it, to conform to the one world religion which will come in the latter days. To develop a liberty of conscience that will not allow you to worship any other god is against the very first commandment in the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. So our liberty of conscience, the very first thing that comes after that for you and me shall be, we will have no other god before you. That's it. Our freedom is in Jesus alone and the price that he paid for it. Never give way to false doctrines. Never surrender your faith in God or bow the knee to another. One of the aims of this series that we're going to do will no doubt offend people. We're not sending out to offend you, but people will be offended. And we have to uphold the Word of God, and we have to make sure that we are telling you or showing you what you believe and in whom you believe, so that your foundational core and the doctrines that you believe are true and right. And the statement contains cores that every Christian, like I say, must believe. I might go as far to say, if you don't believe and accept what we're going to say, if you don't believe and accept what's in our statement, then you need to consider your place in Christ before God. Sounds really harsh. Need to consider what it is you believe. And if you don't follow what we're saying in our statement of faith, which is primary doctrine, then you need to consider your place before God. We do not accept fake Christians in shadow fellowship. The people who look right and say all the right things have come and gone in here over the last 19 years. They say the right things, they look right. And when you start to get to know them, you start to understand them. Fake Christians. The church is full of fake Christians. And believe it or not, it's full of fake leaders and fake ministers. The church is full of them. What we do in Shiloh is to make sure that we are not fake, that Taddy and I aren't fake, that what we're not telling you is not fake. You go and check it. You go and look it up. You follow the three E's and come to me and say, Keith, you're wrong in this, Keith. If I'm wrong, I'm happy to accept it. But you've got to show us, and you've got to read it. So go and look at what's being said this morning. Go and look at the first line of the statement and check it for yourself. There's so much stuff in that. You can look it all up. But this morning in Shiloh, we will accept no fake goods. Only genuine believers who trust and know the Lord Jesus will be admitted to the fellowship of Shiloh Christian Fellowship. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word again this morning. I thank you what you've shown me this week. And Lord, how true it is that we have to really check our own beliefs, what we put our faith in. We need, Lord God, to have our own conscience checked at times as well, to know that we really believe and trust in Jesus, and that we will not allow any fake, unbelieving people to ever join our membership. Lord, it is a pretty hard way to start this course. And I ask you, Lord God, please, that what's being said will be taken on board by everyone in here. And that even though we may be viewed as very extreme in our views, Lord God, we will have no other gods before you in this church. And Lord, we would rather hear the word of God and learn your ways than, Lord, stand here and sing and go out feeling all happy and buzzy. I would rather go out, Lord, learning about you in this word of God and having it seared upon my heart with a heart iron, Lord God. And I ask that you would help us this morning as we leave here and as we begin this series of talks to be encouraged and to be enthused and to enjoy what it is you're showing us to us. And we ask this in your name, Lord. Amen.